We have been talking about some basic truths of Christianity over the past few weeks, just some of the very basic truths, and I hope that you've been enjoying these. I think it's good for all of us to kind of go back to the basics a little bit and pick up some of the fundamentals. We've dealt with the thought of who is Jesus. Then we went and dealt with why did Jesus die on the cross. Thirdly, we dealt with what is faith. We talked about faith. Last week we dealt with how to pray. We dealt with prayer. And today I want to deal with the thought of how does God guide us? How does God guide us in our lives? There is a story told about a man. Once there was a man and he dared God to speak to him. He said, God, burn a bush like you did for Moses. Burn a bush like you did for Moses. That's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Burn a bush like you did for Moses and I will follow you. Then he said, collapse the wall like you did for Joshua and I will fight for you. He said, still the waters like you did in the Sea of Galilee and I will listen to you. So the man went and he sat beside a wall. He watched a bush and he sat next to the water and he waited for God. And God heard the man and he answered. He did not send fire to a bush, but he sent fire to his local church. He did not tear down some wall made out of bricks, but he broke down the walls of sin that held people captive and set them free. He did not still some storm on a sea, but he stilled the storm in the hearts of the people within that assembly. And he brought peace within their hearts. And then God waited. And he waited, and he waited, and God continued to wait. But because the man was looking at bushes and not at his church, because the man was looking at bricks and not the lives of people, because the man was looking at the sea and not the souls of humanity, he felt that God had said nothing. Finally, the man turned to God and once again said, God, have you lost your power? God turned to the man and said, sir, have you lost your hearing? I believe God desires to speak to us. Can God guide us today? I believe he can. I believe he desires to guide us. Psalm 32, verse 8 says this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The Bible tells us that the Lord will guide us. He will instruct us. He will teach us in the way that we should go. He will counsel us and watch over us. I believe the Lord desires to guide our paths. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, in view of what? In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual act of worship, or reasonable act of worship. There's a false teaching today that relates to the grace of God. The teaching tells us that if you have experienced the grace of God, you can do whatever you want and you're okay. And God is okay with that. Just because you've experienced the grace of God, You can do whatever you want. Can I tell you that is a false teaching? In fact, possibly one of the most damnable doctrines in the church today. That you can do whatever you want once you're saved. The Bible never taught that. Paul never taught that. The Gospels never taught that. Peter, and for goodness sakes, James never taught that. That is not the truth. The truth is, the apostles told us this. In view of God's mercy, what is our reaction to the mercy of God? In view of God's mercy, live in whatever way you want. No, it doesn't say that. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What does that mean? Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. What is the pattern for the weekends of this world? There's an old song that goes something like, weekends were made for Michelob. The pattern of this world is weekends were made for partying. We're made for getting drunk. We're made for getting high on drugs. Don't conform yourself to the pattern of this culture, of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. If we are going to know the guidance of God, if we're going to know the voice of God, we have to get this straight. We have been touched by God's mercy, by God's grace, but we must give our lives to Him. If we want His guidance in life, we have to surrender our lives to His will. We have to allow God to get into the very inner part of our being, to work within us. We need to live the life of surrender if we want God's guidance. Proverbs 3. 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your path. Put God first. I'm going to touch on several ways that God guides us. This first area of guidance, the first way that I believe God guides us is through the Bible, through Holy Scripture. I believe the book that God has given us is not just to be a decoration on a coffee table, but it's to be our roadmap. It's to be our GPS. It's to be the thing that guides us in life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? It means all Scripture is given to us from the very breath of God. It's the Spirit of God speaking. It's the Word of our Father speaking into our lives. We need to trust the Word of God. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuke, correction, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We've got two students working with us this summer. Ian's working with us, and I'm really happy about that. I believe God has His call on this young man's life, and God is going to raise him up as a leader within the church. We've got another lady, her name's Andrea. She's actually coming from the Rock Church over to work with us. Another young person that just has a heart and a fire for God. But for these young leaders, as well as for those who are maybe a little bit up there in years, nice to have Brenda's mom and dad with us. And Brenda's Mom and Dad have been in ministry for quite a few years. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in ministry or how long you've been in leadership within the church or how long you've been serving God, we still need the Word of God. We need God's Word. It is still profitable to us. It is still useful to us. It is still necessary for us if we are going to be equipped to hear the voice of God. We'll find through the Word of God, God teaches us. Sometimes He rebukes us. Sometimes He corrects us. Sometimes He's training us. We need the Word of God. Can I give you five things about the Word? Number one, the Bible is the only book that we are to be completely open-minded with. When we pick this book up and begin to read it, absolutely and completely open-minded. Any other book I pick up, you know what? I'm a critical reader. I don't believe everything I read unless it's out of this book. If I pick up some author and I'm reading him and I've told you this before. Sometimes I'll write nasty comments in the side margins. Question marks. I don't agree with this. This is crazy. This person is off the wall. I'll write nasty things because I don't read them with a completely open mind. Some people say, now, Pastor, you have to be open-minded about everything. You know what? I found sometimes some people are so open-minded, I think their brain has fallen out. Their personal doctrines, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of something else. Well, Pastor, you have to be open-minded. No, I'm open-minded about this book. Everything else, I weigh with this book. If it doesn't line up with this book, then I put an exclamation mark beside it and say, I don't agree with it. This is the only book we read with a completely open mind. Some people would say, what about the contradictions in the Bible? Isn't that book full of contradictions? I did a little research and I spent some time on an interesting site that listed 100 contradictions in the Bible, and I read through a lot of them and just had some fun with it. And I laughed. Some of the things that, let me give you a couple of contradictions. One of the contradictions, or the great contradictions they point out in the top 100 contradictions in the Bible. Jesus saw a man sitting at a tax collection office and called him to be his disciple. How many know what the man's name was? What was it? Matthew, Levi. Okay, it's a contradiction. He said Levi, and someone said Matthew. Which one was it? Was it Matthew or Levi? That's right. The answer is yes. It was Matthew, who was also called Levi. Why was he called Levi? Because he was a Levite. And why did they point out that Matthew was a Levite? It's because he was collecting taxes. And a Levite wouldn't touch a Roman coin. Yet Matthew was so backslidden away from his faith, he was sitting in a tax collecting booth counting Roman coins as they came in. Well, he had two names. I know of another guy who has two names. His name is Simon Peter. So just because Matthew refers to himself by his personal name Matthew and all the other gospel writers call him Levi doesn't mean it's a contradiction. His name was Matthew Levi, Matthew the Levite. Is that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. Can I give you another one? At the crucifixion, who carried Jesus' cross? Did Jesus carry it? Or did Simon the Cyrene carry it? Who? Both. Oh, how could that be? Now, John talks about Jesus carrying the cross, and Matthew talks about Simon carrying the cross. Well, it's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Could Jesus carry it and also Simon the Cyrene carry it? Excuse me if we're making fun of this, but it's so stupid. Oh, they both carried it. Jesus carried it until he collapsed under the weight, and they forced Simon to pick it up and carry the cross. How many knew that's what happened anyway? Is that a contradiction? No, it's not a contradiction. How could they be so stupid? Sometimes I wonder, those who say that the Bible is full of contradictions, it is ridiculous. No, it's not a book full of contradictions. It's a God-breathed book. It's there for us so we can receive teaching, so we can be rebuked or corrected, so we can receive instruction, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. It's the only book to be open-minded with. It's not full of contradictions. Again, there was 100 of them. I read most of them. And they were so silly. Thirdly, it's a spiritual book. Some people say, well, I can't understand the Bible. Come on now. Pick up the gospel. Start reading the Gospel of John. If you can't understand the Gospel of John, then you can't understand the book, Mary Had a Little Lamb. If you can't understand the Gospel of John, you can't understand the simplest of child stories. The Gospel of John is so easy to understand. Now there's a few books like Revelation is a little harder to understand, a little bit. Can I tell you this? If you can't understand the Bible, you need to realize it's a spiritual book. And you need to invite the Holy Spirit to come and help you understand it. He's the great teacher. He's the one that comes into your home and into your life, into that place of prayer, and is there to guide you as you read the Word. D.L. Moody said this. Number four, the Bible is not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. When we read this book, we don't read it just to gain knowledge. It's full of knowledge. You can gain great wisdom from reading the Bible. Think of the Proverbs. There's great wisdom and knowledge that can be. We don't read this book for knowledge. We don't read it to fill our heads. We read it to change our hearts. So when we read this book, it's not just to gain knowledge. It's for it to soak into our lives and change us from the inside. Number five is this. If it says it in the Word, don't pray about it. I'm still in my first point. There we go. Back to my first point. If it says it in the Word, don't pray about it. Just obey it. If I went to one of my kids, did I get one of my kids here today? No, she's not here today. She was at her house, but she's off to a class today. But if Janelle were to be, when she was one of my little girls, if I were to say, Janelle, supper's coming right up. Leave the cookies alone. You can have one after supper. And if I walk out of the room and she say, now, Lord, should I eat one of those cookies or not? Well, if I've already told her no, and she goes ahead and prays and then has the cookie, she's disobeyed her dad and disobeyed the one that God has placed over her to guide her life. Well, this book is here to guide our lives. And this book, if it comes out and says, do this, do we need to pray about it? If you're going through the checkout line at the grocery store, one of you tall, handsome guys, one of you short, ugly guys, I don't care. Got to keep us all in there. One of us short, ugly guys are going through the cash register. And this girl comes up behind you and says, oh, how are you? Mr. Handsome, and if it's not your wife, and says, "Oh, would you like to take me out for coffee?" You're married, and not to her. "Oh, just let me pray about this, love. Let me pray about this." You know what? You don't have to pray about it, because what's on her mind is more than coffee. Okay? Maybe there's a donut included. I don't know. But you don't pray about it, because the Bible is clear, thou shalt not commit adultery. You don't have to pray about it. Tax time, you're filling out your taxes. You heard about the guy who was a Christian, eh? He became a Christian. He became a Christian. He wasn't a Christian, and he got saved, and he hadn't paid his taxes, and he felt really, really bad. He couldn't sleep at night. He just really felt bad and really felt convicted. So he wrote a letter and put a check in it. "Dear government, for several years I've failed to pay my full taxes. Find and closed a check for $100. And if I can't sleep at night after giving this much, I will send you the rest later." Don't pray about it. If it's what it says in the Word, you know why? Because if it's written clear and plain in the Word, and you say, "Well, I'm going to pray about that, Pastor," do you know what? You have then opened yourself up to the deception of the enemy. And you can be deceived. You can be led astray by the enemy. If it says it in the Word, simply obey it. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to get a prophetic word. You don't need to get a word from God. Just obey it. The Word is our highest level that we obey. How does God guide us? Number one, He guides us through the Word. Number two, He guides us with His gentle whisper. That still small voice. John 10, verse 27. Then I'm going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. If you want to open up to 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to spend a little bit of time in there. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 27 says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." God directs us by His gentle voice, His whisper. 1 Kings chapter 19, we find Elijah and the story of what's taken place in his life. He had just faced the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel and had a great victory. And then after that, Ahab and his wife Jezebel. And Jezebel said that she would make sure that Elijah was killed. And so he fled for his life. He traveled far away and was hiding in a cave. Verse 11 says, "And the Lord said," speaking to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and a powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper, a still small voice. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak around or over his face. He went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" The still, small voice, the gentle whisper of God. God speaks to us through that gentle whisper. Sometimes that gentle whisper comes to us when we're reading the Bible. Can I say that's one of the best places to hear God's gentle whisper? God will speak to us. We're reading the book, and the book comes alive to us. And the Spirit of the Lord makes it a living word and guides us and directs us. God speaks to us when we're praying. Prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation, not just us talking to God, but God also speaking to us. In that place of prayer, you need to find times that you can quiet yourself before the presence of God. One day a man goes to the doctor. I was hoping that Mr. Hawes would have been here. I could have had some fun this morning with this illustration. But a man goes to the doctor, and he goes to the doctor and says, "Hey, doctor. How are you?" "Can I tell you about my situation? I've got this problem in my wrist. My wrist hurts. My elbow, I think it's tennis elbow. I had a shoulder problem. It's the rotator cuff. My knees, I don't know, it's this 50 thing. It says my knees are bothering me. My hips, I think it could be sciatic. My back, can I tell you about my back? Two bad vertebrae and it hurts. Can I talk to you about my stomach problems?" Guy's just not listening for a while. "Oh, it's bad. It's bad. And my blood pressure's been up and my cholesterol's..." "Thank you, mister. Been really good. We'll talk to you later. I'll be back in 6 months." And as the patient is walking away, the doctor is thinking, "I could help you if you just stop long enough for me to talk to you and give you a little bit of instruction." So many times our prayer life is like that. We go to God and we list off all of our ailments and all of our difficulties and all of our problems. And He is the one that can help us. And we don't stop long enough to listen to Him. For Him to guide us and direct us. For Him to speak in that quiet whisper. Prayer needs to be a point not only of sharing request, but listening. God speaks through the Word. He speaks through our times of prayer. He speaks through dreams and visions. That's just not New Testament stuff. The book of Acts, I believe it's for us today. Anybody ever have a dream or a vision that God directed them? A few? Slip your hands up if you have. There you go. There's a few of us. Sometimes God speaks through prophetic people. Anybody ever receive a prophetic word from somebody? Wave your hand at me. Anybody? Anybody ever give them before? There's a few of us maybe that's given prophetic words that just God kind of directs you to share things with people. God sometimes speaks through angelic appearances or audible voices. God speaks. He desires to speak, to whisper to us, to communicate with us. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks through the gentle whisper, can I tell you, always test it. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." I've had people go way off on the gentle whisper of God. As much as I love God's voice and I listen to God's voice and I believe God speaks to me through the gentle whisper, do you know what? I test when I hear the gentle whisper. As much as I enjoy, whether it's the prophetic, whether it's the dreams or visions, I test them all. Why? Because the Bible tells us to. I have a lady, personal story, lady. I won't say where we were pastoring at the time, but there was a lady in the church at that particular time that was really into the gentle whisper. In fact, she was way over in it, and she didn't test it. I remember one time, her husband came to me and said, "You got to do something with my wife. She's been in bed for days." See, she didn't like her husband to work. He got a job. She said, Pastor, I just stay in bed. Said, I pray every morning, should I get up? And the Lord doesn't tell me to get up, so I stay in bed all day. She didn't clean the house, didn't do the laundry, didn't do anything. She just stayed in bed all day. She said, well, the Lord didn't tell me to get up, so I'm staying in bed. How many would be still in bed right now if you're waiting for the Lord to speak to you to get up? I depend upon my alarm clock to help me get up, not just the Spirit of the Lord to get me up. Now, I know there's times that the Spirit of the Lord wakes us up early to take us into a place of prayer. I know that. But I don't pray, Lord, should I get up this morning or should I stay in bed? Should I go to work or just sleep? I'm afraid that's not how it works. We need to test everything. How do we test it? Gentle whisper. How do we test it? Number one, does it line up with the Word? That's the first testing. Second testing, is it motivated by love? If you feel this gentle voice whisper inside of you, I'm going to choke that person. It's probably not God, okay? Is it motivated by love or is it motivated by a sense of frustration? If it's motivated by frustration, don't do it. Pray about it a little bit longer, okay? Does it bring the peace of God to your heart? Ask yourself those three things. Does it line up the Word? Is it motivated by love? Does it produce the peace of God? I believe it's important for us to listen for the still small voice of God. I've made this a part of my life practice. Maybe about a month and a half before now, Colleen and I were dating. When things had got fairly serious and I needed to hear from God. And so I went into an extended period of fasting and prayer. And I waited on God. And I prayed and I sought God for days. I wanted to know from God if this woman was a right woman for me. After a number of days, the still small voice came to me and simply said, like a father patting his son on the head. And why it took so many days, you know, God could have answered me the first day, but he didn't. Day after day after day, I fasted and prayed. And it wasn't one of these juice fasts that we do today. It was water. That was it. And God spoke to me and said, son, don't worry. It's going to be okay. He said, son, don't worry. It's going to be okay. And I knew in my heart that God had spoken to me. The third way God directs us, through the Bible, through the gentle whisper. Number three is God guides us through common sense. For me, in our engagement, I heard the gentle whisper of God. But some would question if Colleen had common sense to say yes when I asked her. But she did. Common sense. Can you read the chicken and the turkey? Can you tell me, the chicken says, how to get to the other side of the road? And the turkey says, you're already there, you fool. You're there. Voltaire, the French revolutionary, the French writer. Someone just getting the joke. Voltaire said this, common sense is not so common. How many know that's the truth? Sometimes common sense isn't that common. How do we get from here to there? Here's a question about common sense. If you've seen a person out hitchhiking, you know these guys that go out hitchhiking and they hold up their sign? And if someone was hitchhiking towards Truro, And they're on the wrong side of the highway heading towards Yarmouth. And they held their sign up going to Truro. How many think that was common sense? You can't get to Truro going in that direction unless you go the long way around. It doesn't make sense. Common sense. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of the life to come? If you want heaven, you need to be heading in the right direction. Here's the question. What do you want out of life? Do you want addiction or do you want freedom? Which direction are you going in life? Common sense tells you, you will arrive there. What do you want? Do you want a good family or do you want a divorce? The path you choose, common sense tells you where you're going to end up. Do you want to end up as being a bitter old person or an old person who has those smile lines? Where do you want to end up? Hold on to bitterness. Hold on to unforgiveness. Common sense tells you where you're going to end up. Do you want heaven or do you want hell? If you choose not to follow Christ, common sense tells us where we're going to end up. Sometimes we need to allow a little bit of common sense, simply just common sense, to direct us. I believe God gives us a brain. And if we're sticking our thumb out to go to Truro and we're on the road to Yarmouth, we're going the wrong direction. Where do you want to go in life? And allow common sense to help you make up your mind of how to get there. God uses common sense. Number four, God guides us through the Word. God guides us through the gentle voice. God guides us through common sense. God guides us through the counsel of others. Proverbs, three verses. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice." Isn't that the absolute truth? Sometimes our own ways seem like they make sense until we take some time and ask somebody and we find out that we're way off the wall. You know, that's one of the reasons that in the church, the way we have put the church government together is we have a pastor and we also have a board. So that the pastor can come up with the ideas, but he can bounce it off the board and the board can say, "Pastor, you're crazy. It's not going to work." Or they can say, "Pastor, that's a great idea. That will work fabulously." So that we can have some counsel in making decisions. Proverbs 15, verse 22, it says, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed." Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Make plans by seeking advice." Where do we seek advice from? Can I say the first place, one of the good places, particularly for those of us who are younger. If your parents are alive, seek advice from your parents. Particularly if you're still under the roof, or maybe if you're younger and starting off in life, seek advice from your parents. You know what? Sometimes your parents know you better than anybody else knows you. Not always, but sometimes. A good parent knows their child and knows what will work with them. Seek advice from your parents. Number two, seek advice from a leader, particularly someone who's not afraid to tell you what they think. That the only people that you go to ask advice are those who are going to pat you in the back and say, "Go for it. That's a good idea." You're going to the wrong people. Your advisors need to be people who will say, "That's stupid. who feel the liberty to tell you that is wrong. No, you're making a mistake. You need honest advisors. And I believe God guides us through good counsel. My final point is this. The worship team can come up. As God guides us through circumstances. Sometimes the circumstances of life guide us. There's a country song that says that God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. Remember that song? How many know that song? It's a song about a guy who's gone through a lot of heartaches, and a lot of sorrows, and a lot of pain. A lot of brokenness. But through all the brokenness of life, he said that God blessed the broken road that led me to you. Can I tell you, in my life, I grew up on a broken road. Everything about my life should have said, this boy is going to go to hell in the handbasket. But in the midst of the brokenness, God was directing my life. And some of the things that were the most broken and messed up in my life, God was using them to shape me and mold me and direct me. The Bible somewhere tells us that God works all things together for good for those who love Him, for those who are the called according to His purpose. How many knew that? It's in there somewhere. It's like somewhere in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's there. He works all things together for good. God can take the broken circumstances of life and guide you with them. Wouldn't it be great if all of our life was absolutely perfect once we've become saved? It's not. We are still living in a broken world, but God uses broken circumstances in broken lives to guide and direct us. Delight yourself in the Lord, Scripture says, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Can I tell you, before He gives you the desires, He will change your desires. What was your desires when you before you get saved? I could tell you what mine were. They were all bad and wrong. But once I got saved, God changed my desires. And then He could give me my desires. And sometimes to get me there took a period of breaking. But I believe that God blessed the broken road that led me to Jesus Christ. How does God direct us? He guides us. He guides us by His word. He guides us by His whisper. He guides us with common sense. He guides us with counsel of others. He guides us in all of the circumstances of life. God is shaping us to be the people that He desires. Stand with me. As we bow in the Lord's presence, I want you to pause for a moment. Think about how many times your life has gone through the broken times, the struggles and the difficulties. How many have been through a few of them? You know, even in the midst of those, the Bible tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He is with us. As we bow for a moment of worship, thank God for His guidance. Thank God for His word. Thank God for His whisper into your life. Let's worship Him.